I've been starting this meeting every week with the Back to Basic course, which is not AA approved, but it was AA, where they used to take you through the steps before you went to a meeting. They still do it in Washington, in some parts, the state of Washington, not Washington, D.C. There are other parts of the country that use it, and I started each week with where to find the problem and the solution in the Big Book. And it says in step 11, we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry it out. So this step is described on pages 85 through 88 in the Big Book, and the directions for taking step 11 are on page 86, paragraph 2, lines 1 through 5, and paragraph 3, lines 1 through 6, and I've been reading the solution every week. And it says, in the Big Book, it says, upon awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that we be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. Under these conditions, we can employ our mental facility with assurance, for after all, God gave us brains to use. Our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives. And then it goes on to say, in thinking about the day, we may face indecision. We may not be able to determine which course to take. Here we ask God for inspiration, intuitive thought, or decision. We relax, we take it easy, we don't struggle. We often surprise how the right answers come after we have tried this for a while. And then it goes on to tell what used to be the hunch and the brainstorm, how it becomes an active part of our life. Before I go into step 11, I always like to go back about entering the realm of the spirit. And it's real important because the 11th step always fooled me. Because the 11th step tells me to go back to the inventory of the 10th step. And that's my experience with it. It says, you know, it gave me very specific directions. They weren't really suggestions by my sponsor. And it says that it's easy to let up on a spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. We're headed for trouble, for alcohol is a subtle foe. We are not cured of alcoholism. What we have is daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will to all our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. These thoughts must go us constantly. We can exercise our willpower along this line all we wish. It's the proper use of the will. And then it says, much has already been said about receiving strength, inspiration, and direction from him who has all knowledge and power. If we have carefully followed directions, that's step 1 through 10, and have begun to sense the flow of his spirit into us, to some extent we have become God conscious. We have begun to develop that vital sixth sense, but we must go further, and that means more action. And step 11 is about prayer and meditation. My experience when I first got here was, the first prayer I had was, I don't know what's up there, but help me not to pick up a drink today. I didn't believe anything. I knew that the God that I had when I walked in here, I didn't understand. I didn't want your God. I didn't want the fellowship. And I am very grateful, and I always will say that, for the second tradition. There was a loving God in these rooms that I saw in other people and heard to others. Because whatever I had on my mind, whatever I wanted to share at a meeting, I'd be thinking it, and somebody would be bringing up the topic. Gee, right where I am. You know, how did they know what I was thinking? How did they get in my head? And I saw that second tradition work. And through that process, I came to believe in a sponsor who had a God that I borrowed. Didn't know to this day, I don't know what his God was, but I knew I borrowed it. And I used to say, whatever's up there, please help me not to drink. At the end of the day, I said, thank you. I was told to read, and I was told that prayer and meditation is something I can do from day one. I believe we do all 12 steps throughout the day, each and every one of us, whether we're aware of it or not. And it's part of the process. And when I become aware of the process, I practice it a little differently than when I'm not aware of it. At the beginning, I did what I was told. Last week, I shared about my journey through the 10th step, and these were the questions I read out last week about what to do at night, which is the 10th step, and then in the morning and the afternoon. I do that, which is what I just read. That was what I did when I got to that step. Also, when I got to that step, and I'm going to go to the 12 and 12 a lot, because I recoiled from prayer and meditation, especially the meditation part. I practiced a lot of Eastern religions. I always did TM. I went to Est. I did Pyramid Power. I was always searching for God. I did a lot of reading, but I never believed I knew how to meditate. I even went to meditation classes. And I tried sitting with my legs crossed and my hands out and smoking and smelling incense and doing all kinds of things. But I never meditated. Or at least I didn't believe I was meditating. In the 12 and 12, and I want to go to the 12 and 12 because there's a lot of great information in it. I had a problem with the St. Francis prayer because of my upbringing. I love that prayer today. I use it today. It's a great prayer. And one of the things I'm going to say, I'm not going to read it today. It's in the 12 and 12, but it is one of the prayers I use today. I do have an 11-step prayer that I use that came from Sam Shoemaker, the Oxford groups, that I share with everybody. I changed it a little bit because my higher power is all-inclusive, not exclusive. I do share the same God with a lot of people, but I don't talk about him in the rooms. That's for outside issues. I believe that because it can scare some people. I know when I came in here, when you people talked about God of your understanding by name, whether it be whatever religion, I got scared to death. So for me, the 11-step prayer for this alcoholic became, God, who in your love for us has a plan for us far better than our own, grant us to desire your will above all things, and desiring it to seek it, and seeking it to find it, and finding it to serve you faithfully through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And that became my 11-step prayer. And I sometimes have the trouble at the end of a meeting when we do the Lord's Prayer. Some days I can do it comfortably, and some days I feel like I'm just saying words. And when I feel like I'm saying words, I go to that prayer. It's just something I do. I'm not telling anybody to do what I do. I'm telling them what I did. Whatever you're comfortable with, I was told when it came to prayer, is what you needed. I tried continual prayer, something that I found on one of my side journeys that I'll talk about, because side journeys are important to me in the 11th step. I also remember the struggles, but I want to talk about what the 12 and 12 says. It says that prayer and meditation are our principal means of conscious contact with God. And it goes on and explains, as active folk, we enjoy our life, and a lot of times we get caught up in life, and we do the prayer kind of, and we don't take the time to meditate. Well, I learned in the 10th step, if I take the time to take my inventory throughout the day, then in the morning I sure as hell should have time for God. And had me take the time to set aside. So I get up a little earlier, and the first thing I do, my first conscious contact since my third step is Good Morning God. That's my conscious contact. And some days I'm in no hurry, and I always tell the story of how I was late to go to work one day, and I didn't want to be late for work, and I jumped down on my knees, because if I didn't get on my knees, I had a lot of problems with that. And it was put to me, you know, you hung up over toilet bowls and you hung up looking through the carpet, you can get on your knees out of respect. So I got on my knees and I said, God, I'm late for work, I'll talk to you later. And I ran out the door. And later on I came home and I went down and did what I was taught to do. And I've learned out later on, I still get on my knees, but not every day. I do know that speaking to God is not about position, it's about petition. And I can do that in my car, and I can do that in the bike, and I can do that in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I've done it in many meetings. There's many a times I pray. So throughout the day, I constantly try and revive myself with God, because left to my own thinking, God kind of moves out of the picture real quick. And there's a lot of days I'll pray, and then I'll get up and I'll take my will right back and go right out the door and forget that I even spoke to him. And then when I catch myself, I take that quiet moment, you know, that it talks about in the 10th step, and I reflect, and I ask that God's will be done, not mine. So I have to remember that meditation is something that is practiced. And like most of these steps, these principles are practiced. It says, but we recoil from meditation and prayer as obstinately the scientist who refused to perform a certain experiment least to prove his pet theory wrong. And I really fought the meditation part of this, very much so. And I used to go into meetings, and I used to go to a 11-step meeting in the bottom line down in Deerfield. And at that meeting, I couldn't sit when I first got here for a minute, let alone 10, or 15 and be quiet. My head wouldn't be quiet. That was a process that I needed to learn, and through a sponsor, I learned that process. It says, those who have come to make regular use of prayer would no more do without it than we refuse air, food, or sunshine. And for the same reason, when we refuse air, light, or food, the body suffers. And when we turn away from meditation and prayer, we likewise deprive our minds, our emotions, and our intuitions of the vitalness, of the vitally needed support. As the body can fail its purpose for lack of nourishment, so can the soul. And that's why I do it today. I want to nourish my soul. I call my meditation my spiritual pablum every morning. We all need the light of God's reality, the nourishment of His strength, the atmosphere of His grace. To an amazing extent, the facts of AA life confirm this A-list truth. There is a direct linkage among self-examination, meditation, and prayer. Taken separately, these practices can bring much relief and benefit. But when they are logically related and interwoven, the result is an unshakable foundation for life. Now and then, we may be granted a glimpse of the ultimate reality, which is God's kingdom. And we will be comforted and assured that our destiny in that realm will be secure so long as we try, however falteringly, and find and do the will of our Creator. There's a part that this book talks about where we stop praying and we don't know why. And it also says, as soon as we do, we pick it up like we never stop. Just sharing that with somebody outside the meeting. I go through those phases. There's a whole time I wouldn't pray, I wouldn't meditate, and I didn't know why. I still talked to God, I still made my conscious contact, but I just didn't feel connected. And I don't think it was God that wasn't connected. It was me not doing what I was taught to do. It says, we want the good that is in all of us, even in the worst of us, to flower and grow. Most certainly we shall need bracing air and the abundance of food, but first of all, we shall want sunlight. Nothing much can grow in the dark. Meditation is our step to the sun. How then shall we meditate? Well, I did my first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seven, eight, nine, and ten, and I went to my sponsor and I was very confused. I said, I can't meditate. You tell me to sit still and just be for 30 seconds a day, and I can't do that. I don't know how to meditate. How do you do this thing? He said to me, well, let me ask you a question. Did you do your fifth step? I said, yes. He said, did you take the book down off the shelf like I asked you? I said, yes. He said, did you reflect on your, take that hour and reflect on what you just did? And I said, yes. He said, well, then you shouldn't have a problem with meditation. That's a form of meditation. And that was real important for me to hear because I forgot. You know, I'm trying to find this thing that I don't know what it is, and I want to do it the way you're doing it, and I don't know how you're doing it. And nobody can tell me what they're doing to get to where they're going. And I'm sitting here confused. Wonder why. And I'm trying to analyze the hell out of meditation. And he gave me a couple of things. He said, whenever you read a book, any spiritual book, you'll find you are hearing someone else's experience. And that's a form of meditation, digesting those words. And that made it so easy. So when I read to get the contact that someone has, especially in spiritual material, with God. For this alcoholic, I read a couple of meditations in the morning, daily reflections. I read some AA and some not AA. And I'm going to say this now. I'm going to go to this because I have to. When I first got here, there's two words that I didn't understand. One of them is guidance, and the other one was prayer and meditation. Those were the words that confused me a lot. And the Oxford group talks a lot about it. And the history is that the big book is full with it, and I didn't see it. So for those people who want to know about prayer, it's not only in the 11th step. It's in there are one or more prayers mentioned in connection with almost every step. There are 25 of them in the first 164 pages of the big book. If you want to know about guidance, or what they used to call quiet time or morning watch, it's mentioned 17 times in the big book. I went back and pulled my old notes out. Morning meditation and devotions, they're mentioned throughout pages 86 and 87. Seeking help from the religious, and that's why I'm going to go to that, it's mentioned 8 times. And as it says in the 12 and 12, they left us a wealth of knowledge at our disposal for us to use. My journey in the 11th step has constantly changed. I like to tell God stories. I mean, I can talk about the channel and that we all go through. And it talks about the nature kind of meditation when you lay on a sunlit beach. You relax, you take a deep breath, and you feel the spirituality of the ocean rolling in and looking on the horizon. That was probably my first contact with God when I got here. I'm not really sure. But that's what I kind of remember, walking one day and hearing the birds for the first time, calling up my counselor in treatment and saying, God, birds chirp in the morning. He said, they do every morning. You know, I first heard them. I was 4 months sober. And they told me that prayer is raising the heart and mind to God, which is talking to God, and meditation was listening. And listening was my biggest obstacle, whether it be to my sponsor or to God, because my head was real busy and I didn't know how to quiet it down. And it says meditation is something which can always be further developed. It has no boundaries, either in width or height. Aided by such instruction and example as we can find, it is essentially an individual adventure, something which each of us works out in his own way. That took me off the hook in trying to figure out how you guys were doing it. There is a lot of temptation when we start praying for people that we think what God should do for them, or what we want for them. What I do when I have people that I care about in my life, I say, God, I'm thinking about these people, they're on my heart. Whatever you do, I'd like you to keep them in your hand today, hold them safe, and whatever your will is, just make me bring my will to yours. It's really simple as I know how to keep that prayer. And that's about prayer. And it says, we ought to pray that God's will, whatever it is, be done for others as well as ourselves. And we found that in AA, good results of prayer are beyond question. And I've known that. I've made prayers and amazing things happen very instantly. So I'm real careful with my prayers today, how I say them. I tell the story of when I was driving and I was sober a few years, and I found out that I was losing sight in my right eye. And I needed to wear a patch, and I didn't have a car then. I went from walking to a meeting to a skateboard. And from a skateboard, I went over to a scooter, a 49cc scooter. And while I was driving that scooter, I went to the eye doctor, and they told me that I had to wear a patch. And my prayer when I first got here each year, my sponsor told me to put something in it. And the first year was the eyes, not only to see, and I got that out of some piece of literature or heard it from some tape. But to perceive, the ears not only to hear, but to listen, and then a heart not only to feel, but to conceive, you know, to express. And I was real angry, because now I have this physical handicap, and I'm wearing this patch, and my sponsor was out on a spiritual retreat, and I was real angry, because he wouldn't call me back. And my sponsor's sponsor called me back at the time, and Garrett, who a lot of people might know, he used to work for Bach, came over and he said to me, well, you know your prayer that you've been praying. And he said, let's go over it. And I said, well, yes, for the eyes to see. He said, so when you're driving a motorcycle, are you paying more attention with the one eye you're looking out of? I said, I have to. I can't see out of the right side. So he says to me, well, then I guess you're seeing differently. You're perceiving differently, aren't you? I said, yeah. And he said, the ears to hear. I said, well, I can't see the right side, so when I hear a horn or something, I'm listening differently. So he says, you're hearing differently. And he says, how about your feelings? I said, they're all over the place. He said, well, I guess your prayer was answered. So I said, but I don't like it. He said, be careful what you pray for. So I learned that the hard way. And it worked, because that prayer has changed. I said, now, God, whatever your will is with my eye, whether I lose my sight or I don't, it's your choice. And just give me the strength to face it. And whatever your will is. That's a hard one for me to say, because I've got to get me out of the way of my prayers. And it says they have found wisdom beyond their... In AA, we found that the actual good results of prayer is beyond question. They are the matters of knowledge and experience. All those who have persisted have found strength not ordinarily their own. They have found wisdom beyond their usual capacity, and they have increasingly found peace of mind which can stand firm in the face of difficult circumstances. I won't go into my personal situation. Most of you know that I've been going through a lot. But it's not me that's getting me through this. And it's a peace that I have within myself that is beyond anything, whether it be in my personal life, whether it be my physical handicaps at this point on my journey. It's been amazing how God has entered me. And it's not me. It's just not me. And I don't know how to explain it in any other way than that. There's a couple of things that I like to tell. I was going to a spiritual retreat. And on my way to that spiritual retreat, I was having a lot of problem with meditation and prayer. And it was one of the times I put it down. I had a friend of mine with me, and I said, let's stop at the bookstore. And I stopped at a Christian bookstore. And I walked over to the meditation section, the devotional section, and there was a book called Between Heaven and Earth by Ken Gear. And it's not AA, but I'm going to tell you the different journeys that I've gotten, because maybe you pick up one of those books and find something you need in it, like I did. And the book was on the shelf, and I liked it. And it was $22.50. I remember how much it was. It was $20 plus tax. And what happened was, I looked at the book, I opened it up, and it was Abe Lincoln was in it. It was everybody. Jewish people, Christian people, all kinds of prayers and all kinds of meditation. And I looked in, and I said, I can't afford this. I put it back on the shelf, and I walked to the counter. And I said to the lady at the counter, where do I find stuff on meditation? Sends me right back to that section. I sat down for an hour and read almost every book that was there, but I kept picking that book up. And I said, I can't afford this. I was pretty new in sobriety. I put it on the shelf and I started walking out. I had $25 in my pocket, and I walked back and I said, I got to have this book. There's certain things that, I was just driven to get this book. That book I got, I went on a retreat, I was reading it. I worked at those times in Denny's, and my first table, I had two cups of coffee, a man and a woman, they sat there. And I was right after the retreat that night, and they left a $20 bill plus the coffee. They left $25 on the table. After the total amount of the bill, it was the exact amount of the book I found that I paid. And I ran over to them to say, hey, you made a mistake. You left the $20. No, they said you were just wonderful. You wanted to make sure. And we feel, you know, we do a kindly act once in a while. And, that ain't God working. I don't know what it was, because that helped me pay for my rent for that day. But that was one of those experiences. And along that journey, I was just talking to somebody. There's a book called Between Heaven, Heaven Hears Every Whisper. And it, what it is God's stories, little incidences that happen, like the Eskimo who saved from an airplane crash. And he's at telling the story to someone. And they say to him, well, God must have come down. He said, no, some Eskimo came along in the snow and found me. And while he was praying, almost dying. You know, and it's all those God incidences about planes, how they landed when nobody was directing them. And I love those stories, because we all have them. The awareness of those come later on. There are so many wonderful side journeys I've taken. From that book, Between Heaven and Earth, I started to work on continual prayer. And continual prayer is something that is mentioned in the Bible. For those people, it is one of those religious things that has been left for us to use. So if you have a problem with that, I'm sorry, but it's just there. And being it's a continual prayer, I wanted to learn more about continual prayer. So I asked a lot of religious people about it, and nobody had an answer. In that same book, there's something a book called The Way of the Pilgrim, which is about a Russian immigrant who had one arm, who walked across Russia to get to the homeland. And he got back to Israel. And he found a man, and they called it a philokia, which is the name of the book. It's a religious document that talks about talking and listening to God. And that was a side journey that I got out of that book. And through that, I found many other books, including one that I've been doing now, which is called contemplative prayer, which is a little different than continual prayer, but it's a new form of me practicing my contact with God. And that's what the 11th step is, my conscious contact with God. My journey has gone on many side issues. I do a lot of reading, but reading will not get my conscious contact. It'll give me knowledge, but it's the practice of that knowledge, of what I do with it on a daily basis. Not every day do I sit in quiet time. I got so interested in how the Oxford group worked that there's a paper, I forgot to bring it today, that talks about morning watch and quiet time, and they put it to the four absolutes. Which they still use in Akron, the four absolutes, which is still AA, not down here, but up there, and which has to do with traditions. But for this alcoholic, being we're talking about meditation, and there is no wrong way to meditate. That's what I was taught. Sometimes when I'm talking in the car with my head, and I'm listening for God, I'm talking in my head. I know when I'm trying to force my will in it, I don't bargain with God. All I ask Him is that He slow me down and let me not think this way. And that usually helps a lot, and then I just try and get quiet. And music is a form of meditation. I was told to listen to tapes. I did lots of things, and they all work. Some work better than others. But there's something that I've been reading, and it's something I'd like to share with the group. It's called a Meditation. That's just the name of this. And it says, we begin our prayers by disposing our body. Let it be relaxed and calm, but inwardly alert. The root of our prayer is interior silence. We may think of prayer as thoughts or feelings expressed in words, but this is only one expression. Deep prayer is laying aside of thoughts. It is the opening of the mind and the heart, body and feeling, the whole being to God, the ultimate mystery. Beyond words, thoughts, and emotions, we do not resist them nor suppress them. We accept them as they are and go beyond them. Not by effort, by letting them all go by. We open our awareness to the ultimate mystery, who we know by faith is within us, closer than breathing, closer than thinking, closer than choosing, closer than consciousness itself. The ultimate mystery is the ground in which our being is rooted. The source from our life emerges at every moment. We are totally present now, with the whole of our being in complete openness in deep prayer. The past and the future, time itself, is forgotten. We are here in the presence of the ultimate mystery. Like the air we breathe, this divine presence is all around us and within us. They're distant from us, but never separate from us. We may sense His presence drawing from us within as touching of our spirit, embracing it, or carrying us beyond ourselves into pure awareness. We surrender to this attraction of interior silence, tranquility, and peace. We do not try to feel anything, reflect about anything. Without effort, without trying, we sink into its presence, letting everything else go. Love alone speaks. The simple desire to be one with the presence, to forget self, to rest in the ultimate mystery. This presence is immense, yet so humble. All-inspiring, yet so gentle. Limitless, yet so intimate. Tender and personal. I know that I am. Everything in my life is transparent in this present. It knows everything about me. My weaknesses, my brokenness, sinfulness, and it still loves me infinitely. This presence is healing, strengthening, refreshing. Just by its presence, it is non-judgmental. Self-giving, seeking no reward, boundless in compassion. It is like coming home to a place I should have never left, to an awareness that has somehow always there, but which I do not recognize. I cannot force this awareness or bring it about. The door opens within me, but from the other side. I have seemed to have tasted before the mysterious sweetness of this enveloping, permeating presence. It is both emptiness and fullness at once. We wait patiently in silence, openness, and quiet attentiveness, motionless within and without. We surrender to the attraction to be still, to be loved, just to be. How shallow are the things that upset and discourage me. I resolve to give up my desires that trigger my tormenting emotions. Having tasted true peace, I can let them go by. Of course, I shall stumble and fall, for I know my weaknesses, but I will rise at once, for I know my goal. I know where my home is.